10. Those hours of darkness he suffered for sinners on Calvary's cross, all forsaken alone, while making atonement and bearing the judgment, are ended, and now he's on high on the throne.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just ask for help. Our loving Father and our God, we just thank Thee that the good news of salvation can be proclaimed one more time. We thank Thee that there is a dear, loving Savior who cares for each soul in this room. We thank Thee for the day of grace, which is still, we're waiting for that last sinner to be saved. We thank Thee that we can still come, that anyone who is lost, who does not know the love of a Savior who died for them, that they can come now. And so we just ask for help for the speaker. We ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted, our eyes would be turned to Him, and that we would truly say, we have a Savior on high in the glory. And so we just ask for this in the worthy and precious name of Your Son, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading a verse in Ecclesiastes. It's a hard book to find, at least for me. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from the flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I wanted to speak this evening something that has been impressed upon me in the last, I guess, few months on time. I suppose that almost everybody in this room has a watch on their hand, and if they don't have a watch on their hand, they probably have a phone. And we do most of, or we exercise, I guess, our activities during the day by a schedule, by time. And so this evening I wanted to speak about three times in the Bible, and it's a very specific amount of time. It's three times when 3 hours are mentioned. But I wanted to begin with this verse because I don't know if we're going to make it to the end of this meeting. The Lord Jesus could call me home. The Lord Jesus could call all of the believers home in this room. And so this verse here that I begin with, remember now thy Creator, I want to impress upon you that we don't have a lot of time. You and I. I've known the first death, I guess, not to start with death, but I remember when I was in grade 3, there was a boy in my class, old, and that little boy died. I don't know if he was a Christian. I hope that he was. I don't know. But we live our life as if we have all the time in the world. We live our life often, or I find myself, I'll speak to myself as if, you know, tomorrow is going to come. That there's no concern for the moment in which we live. I remember sitting in those seats as a young person, and I would look at the clock, and it'd be 7:10, and I would think, oh, it's 35, 40 more minutes, and we'll get to go out, and we'll go to the beach, and we'll have a bonfire. We're not promised 30 more minutes, or 40 more minutes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And if I can impress one thing upon you tonight, it's that now is the time. It's not tomorrow. It's not 3 hours from now. But I wanted to speak tonight about three times in the Scripture where it speaks of 3 hours. I know that most of you will know the third one, but I want to start with one that I've been reading about this week and I've been exercised about in Acts chapter 5. And we're not going to turn many places, only to two places in the Scripture tonight. The first is in Acts chapter 5, and I know this isn't often a gospel story. But three in Scripture speaks of a testimony. It's a witness. You need two or three witnesses. If you go to court, I suppose, actually, even today, if you go to court, they can't just convict someone with one person. There needs to be two or three. And you read that in Deuteronomy or in Matthew 18. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so three in the Bible speaks of a testimony. And so I'd like to begin in Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, as it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? And behold, the feet of them which have carried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. Well, this is a verse, or a story, I should say, that I think everyone in this whole room knows well. My mother had me write this out many times when I was a young boy. I guess my children would probably say the same thing. And it's a very solemn story, because Ananias here, he comes to Peter. It doesn't even say that he lied, overtly or explicitly, but he comes and we know the story. He lays this money at the feet of the apostles, at Peter's feet. And we would say, well, that was a wonderful act. He brought this money and he gave it for, and it was for the church. If you turn back to the last verse of the last chapter, they were selling their land and they were distributing it. And we would look at this and think, well, this was a good thing to do. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. I am often impressed by the fact that we live lives that are, I'll call them fake lives. If you go on Twitter or Instagram, I'm speaking now, I suppose, to more young people, or Facebook, we post things because we want to portray the type of people, of who we are, pictures of things that are going on in our life, but we very rarely portray who we really are. And there is someone who looks down inside your soul tonight, looks inside my soul tonight, and he knows exactly who you are, and he knows who I am. You cannot hide from a holy God. And so, here Ananias presents this money, and Peter says, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who are you lying to tonight? We come to meeting, we put on a face sometimes. The Lord Jesus knows who every single person in this room is, and He knows what's in your heart. I look around this room, and I think I recognize almost all of the faces in the room. And you've all heard the gospel many, many times. The Lord Jesus knows your heart. And so Simon says here, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he falls down dead. It's not my intent really to speak about Ananias. But we know that the wages of sin is death. Even as a little child, I have 6 children, and even when they're very young, younger than 1 year old, they know when they are being disobedient. I say, Caleb, come, and he'll run away. Or James, come, and they're disobedient. The wages of sin is death. And so every single one of us in this room tonight, the wages of sin is death. Well, what I wanted to speak about was not Ananias, but actually Sapphira. Because it says in verse 7, it was about the space of 3 hours after. And you know, back when the Bible was written, it's about, well, I guess it was all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It was over a period of time that the words were laid out on paper, I suppose, but 2,000 years ago. And sometimes we read it and we read right by verses and we miss a point that is in there. And I was reading this recently. I had my son writing out these verses, and I read what he wrote out, and I noticed it was about the space of 3 hours. And I thought, why was it that that expression was included in this chapter? It didn't. The Holy Spirit did not need to include the fact that there was 3 hours between Ananias and Sapphira coming in. But it did. And it's an unusual thing, because while I have a watch and you have a watch and you might have a phone, back at this time they didn't have watches. We read in Scripture often of days transpiring, but not of hours very often. And so there had to be a very specific reason why the Holy Spirit included that it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. I'd like to submit a thought to you tonight. And that is, Ananias, he fell down dead. There was 3 hours. His wife knew exactly. It says in verse 2, it says, his wife also being privy to it. She knew that money, not all of the money, was going to be given. And so she had 3 more hours to think about the fact that they were going to hold back money. Did it change anything at all? It didn't. She came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. You might think that if you wait a little bit longer, that things will get a little bit better. But that is not true. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Time is so short, you don't know whether you will have till the end of this meeting. The Lord Jesus, we expect Him at any moment to hear that shout. Now is the time. And that's not, I speak to myself, because this isn't just for salvation, but it's how we live our lives. We think, oh, I have tomorrow, I have the next hour. We don't. Even if given that time, you know what we do in our own flesh? We use it for ourselves. It was about the space of 3 hours. Did it change anything? I'm afraid it didn't. It gave testimony to the fact that man fails. I know that is in myself, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And it doesn't matter how old you are or whether you're young or old. Time is not going to solve the matter of sin. And you are going to stand before God at some day. I was exercised by our brother Robert Boulard this afternoon. He said, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God. Romans 14, verse 12. We're going to give an account of ourselves. Time in our own energy is not going to bring us any closer to the Lord, to the Creator of this world. And you don't know how long you have left. Very vividly, it's one of the most vivid days of my life. I was scuba diving off 100 miles off the shore of Rhode Island, who's out on the ocean. I had a dinner with a man, his name was Tom Pritchard. He was a crew on the boat, and he was telling me all about his son. He had 2 sons. He was actually telling me about his sons, and he was very proud of them. And it was just one-on-one. It was a big boat, but I was sitting across from him, and we had a great conversation. They called him Doc, was his name. He taught medicine, actually, at the University of Pennsylvania. Yeah, fascinating conversation, and The next day, he went in the water in front of me, about 2 hours in front of me, with his gear on. He was going in to do some work on the bottom, setting a hook on the wreck. And about 2 hours later, I jumped in the water with the person I was diving with, and he was decompressing on the line. When you dive at deep depths, you come up slowly. And I saw him there. He was all alone by himself. He's about 15 feet maybe from the surface. And I said, okay. And he signals back, okay. And I do my dive. I came back after that dive. I come back to the surface, and it's 2 hours, and I put my head above the water, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. Two things. An airplane flying overhead about 50 feet over that boat. It was a Coast Guard. It was very foggy, the Coast Guard going out. And a man standing on the back of the boat calling out, "Doc! Doc!" at the top of his lungs. I'd passed him. He only had 5 minutes. He only had 5 minutes left on maybe 10 minutes on his decompression schedule. I said, okay. He signaled back, okay. No one ever saw him again. You don't know when the last moment of your life is going to be. We don't have a lot of time, and yet we live as if we have all the time in the world. 3 hours is not going to change anything. Come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. You don't know how much time you have left. But this is a gospel of good news. And I wanted to talk about three times in the Bible. It's very specific about an amount of time. The first time is the testimony that man is a sinner. Time is not going to solve that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 15. And we know this story very, very well. This is the story of the grace of God. We've been reading in Mark at home. In our assembly in Mark chapter 15. And I'd like to begin. This is the story of the crucifixion. And begin with verse 17. Mark 15 and verse 17. "And they clothed him," this is the Lord Jesus, "with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And so the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come," I want to stop there. 3 hours on the cross. I believe that every single person in this room knows the story of the crucifixion. Of my Savior, the Lord Jesus. This was the Son of God, sent down to this world. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we should live through Him. Love, you know, we often think of love as an emotion.
I was talking with Lindsay this afternoon about before I was married and things that you do. And we often associate love with an emotion. And I think that's because the world just bombards us with images and movies and things that love is something that you feel inside. God sent His only begotten Son. The Son of God. You know, I was reading a verse a few years ago. We all know it, but can we turn to it in John 3:16? I've enjoyed this so many times over the last few years. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe we all know this verse well, but I don't want to begin with verse 16. I'd like to begin back with verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, and then I'd like to drop down to verse 16, for God so loved the world. I want to stop there. Those of you who have a Bible where the words of the Lord are written in red will see that verse 16 is in red. Those were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And who knows the love of the Father more than the Son? And it was impressed upon, I've read this verse hundreds, maybe thousands of times, but it was impressed upon me that it was the Lord Jesus who said these words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't want to minimize the words that are in black. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But this was spoken by the Lord Jesus. Those 3 hours of those 3 hours on the cross, I believe, from the third hour to the sixth hour, was the testimony of the love of God to this world. Back in Mark 15, look what everyone is doing. Every single person, it says, they that passed by railed on Him. We turn to Ecclesiastes, and it says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, or not Ecclesiastes, Lamentations. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? He that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, likewise the chief priests mocking with the scribes. We sang this song, verse 10, and it said, and all the end of verse 2, it says, all this He suffered for sinners like thee. No, it's all this He suffered for sinners like me. Every single person, that likewise also, it says, and they that were crucified with Him reviled Him. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 3 hours. A testimony of God's love to this world. And those of us who are Christians, 3 hours that we read through this often, Lord's Day morning we remember, is it nothing to you all ye that pass by? This is God's testimony in those 3 hours of His love to you and to me. But then there's 3 more hours. Verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. That's all we have. Nothing is written about the 3 hours really in Acts with Sapphira. There's not a lot written. There's certainly a lot written of the crucifixion of the Lord, but of these sets of times, there's not a lot of time spent. And on this, the most momentous occasion in the history of this world, that in the fullness of the dispensation of times He should send His Son, we have one verse. And when the sixth hour was come, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. We read in Exodus chapter 11, well, before we get to that, why was there darkness for these 3 hours? I believe the first 3 hours, God was showing a testimony to this world, "This is my beloved Son. For this cause came I unto this hour." But here we have 3 hours where God closes the window. We don't see what happens in these 3 hours. There was a darkness over all the land. And in Exodus chapter 11, it speaks about a darkness that can be felt. I believe in those 3 hours that the Lord Jesus took the punishment for my sins. I know that He did. And if you're a Christian in this room, if you're a believer, then He has borne your sins in those hours of darkness. He bore the sins of many. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many, it says in Isaiah 53. God closed the window. Did He bear the punishment for your sins in those 3 hours? Why was it 3 hours? You know, we operate on... I don't know how watches work. But back then, I believe they would have told the time by the sun. The sun was darkened. There was a darkness over the whole land, and yet it was recorded that it was 3 hours. It's only, I believe, 5 or 6 times in the Scripture where it refers to a set amount of time. Why does the Lord Jesus, why does the Holy Spirit record it in His Word? I believe because there is grave importance to those times. In these 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He was made sin. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 3 hours, He bore the penalty for my sins. But you know, I don't know for sure if He bore the judgment for everyone's sins. My trust He has. There was a prayer meeting before this gospel back here where people were exercised about the souls in this room. And those who hear the gospel, this I do know, that the Lord Jesus, there is still a soul to be saved who has seen, or perhaps I would say they have not seen. Their eyes have not been opened to their need of a Savior. Because when that last soul is saved, we're going to be caught up to heaven. I remember having a dinner with someone that I worked with. He was from Israel. He was brought up in Judaism. And we were talking about the Lord Jesus. And he said, "Do you really believe all that stuff? Do you really believe that in Him was no sin? That He couldn't sin? That He died?" Let me tell you, my friend, you cannot sit in your seat tonight and say that Jesus was a good man because He claimed to be the Son of God. If you don't believe, if you believe that He was a good man and not the Savior of sinners, then you are sadly mistaken. But if you believe that He was a good man and you are not saved, you've not come to Him in your need, if you've not recognized that in those 3 hours of darkness He died so that you could go to heaven, then you're on your way to a lost eternity. And I tremble for you, especially because you have heard the gospel so many times. I'll put my hand up and say, I was the first one that was like that. When I was 8 years old, younger, I guess, I heard the gospel hundreds of times, and I used to pray every night, "Lord Jesus, please wash away my sins." But I didn't have the faith in the Lord Jesus. I didn't realize that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when I was 8 years old, I remember I knew the story. I knew the Lord Jesus was coming back. I took my bicycle to meeting, and I would bike home from meeting on it. I got home. I would race the bike home to try and beat my father home, who had the van. And I got home from meeting, and I beat him. There was no one there. The van wasn't there, and I was excited. I sat in the front yard of the house, and I was all excited. And I waited, and my father didn't show up. I started to get a little bit worried. I biked back to meeting. Back on my bicycle, it was a BMX, and I got back to meet because I thought, they like to talk a lot after meeting, and I thought, well, maybe they're still at the meeting room. I went back to the meeting room, and they weren't there. I biked home. My parents still weren't home, and I knew that the Lord Jesus was going to return from heaven. I know that. I knew that then. I just hadn't accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I remember on the front lawn of our house, I kneeled down and I thought the Lord Jesus had already returned. And I prayed and I said, Lord Jesus, if you haven't returned, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And the reason, and that, I remember a peace coming over me. I still didn't know where my parents were. They had gone to Dairy Queen, I think, that night. But I remember the relief as they were coming down the street. But I know now that the Lord Jesus, when I came to Him and recognized that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I knew I was a sinner. And I pray that everyone here knows and has accepted what the Lord Jesus did in these 3 hours of darkness. That time is specifically set, I believe, because it was God's testimony of His righteousness. If He punished the Lord Jesus for my sins, then He couldn't punish me. He wouldn't be a just God if He did that. You can't punish the Lord Jesus and punish me. He bore the penalty for my sins in those 3 hours of darkness. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You know, up until this point, inside the temple, there was a thick curtain between what they called the holy place and the holy of holies, and people could not approach God. But when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that curtain, it was as thick as a man's hand, I've heard, it was torn in two so that you tonight could come to the Lord Jesus. So that you have free access, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is our Savior. And we live for what are we going to do tonight? What are we going to live to do tomorrow? We're not promised that. Because of these 3 hours, you have the privilege. The door is still open tonight. And so we began the meeting by reading a verse about time. Remember now thy Creator. I'd like to close the meeting by reading a verse about now. Because you don't have 3 hours. I don't have 3 hours. We should not live our lives as if we have 3 hours. You can come to the Lord Jesus right now and say, it says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I plead with you, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus, that you will accept the Lord Jesus. We don't have 3 hours. We only have now. And that's true for those of us who are saved. The Darby translation of that verse, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus as Lord. We don't have tomorrow. We should be confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart in all of our actions, not just in meeting, but in work, and in the way we get up in the morning, and the way we go to sleep, Jesus as Lord. Now is the time, not tomorrow. And so I'd like to close with a verse in Malachi chapter 3. One of my favorite verses about now. Partway through verse 10, because this is what the Lord Jesus wants. It says that He's not willing that any should perish. That includes you. The middle of verse 10, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Don't wait Don't wait. Prove me now herewith. Whether it be salvation, whether it be giving our lives as a sacrifice to Him, prove me now. We're not promised 3 hours. Maybe we could just close by singing the hymn, "Be in Time." Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. You could sing the first and last verse only of number 25.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a ship, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time.
Our loving Father and our God, we just thank Thee for Thy declaration of love to this world in sending Thy Son, knowing what man, what we, what I was going to do to Him. But we thank Thee, our Father, that that declaration of love has resulted in a salvation, in a door that is still open for sinners. Father, we just pray that if there be any here in this room tonight who has not accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they would do so, that there would be no delay, that the attack of the enemy would be stopped, that they would recognize that we don't have time, that the Lord Jesus is returning. And so we just pray that by Thy Spirit, that soul, if there is one here, that they would turn to the Lord Jesus. We just ask these things in His worthy, in His precious name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.